Welcome to Acorn to Oak with Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy. Within each acorn, there is the DNA that strives to be a mighty oak tree. All it needs to reach its potential for greatness is to be activated. You are the acorn. On this show, we will share with you the tools and guidance you need to grow into the person you are meant to be. And now your host, Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy.
Good evening, everybody. It's Matthew Donaghy. I assume Penny's having some technical difficulties, but I'm sure she'll join us along the way. I hope you're all well. It's been a real interesting week over in the UK. Lots of things going on, especially in politics. It's a real interesting time. So the show tonight is going to be the laws of life. And what we mean by that is, from my personal experience, before I did any work with Penny and Acorn to Oak, I didn't have any understanding of sort of how the universe works. So if you had asked me about laws back then, I probably would have come out with a bunch of laws that we have to abide by in society. But what we're talking about is more universal laws. So, and it's very much almost like a roadmap of how to live life and get the most from it. So I'm going to pick a few different laws to go through. And I think the first one I'm going to pick is the law of attraction, because it's something that a lot of people have spoken about. There's been a lot of attention over the years, especially with sort of The Secret and that sort of thing. But one thing I found is with the law of attraction is people either find they get really, really good results, or they may get two or three good results and then give up on it because it doesn't work. And by that, I mean The Secret. So trying to manifest something within your life, whether it be a business, finance, a car, whatever it be. And you may find that when you start using the tool of manifestation and using the law of attraction, it may work once or twice. It's like when you request something from the universe, very much you're going to get a yes first. But the key to the law of attraction is there's a lot more behind it. So there's a lot of lessons to be learned in life. So if you're trying to manifest something in finance to pay off your debts and you think, oh, it's not happening, I can't manifest because I've been trying to manifest a lottery ticket to pay my debts. The reason you're not getting them or the manifestation isn't happening is because what part of you thinks it's okay to just go out and build up a load of debt and then ask the universe for a lottery ticket to pay it off? It's just not going to happen. The universe is going to give you a polite response of maybe you need to learn a lesson around this. So you may start getting letters from the people that you owe money to and think, oh, I've been trying to manifest money and all I seem to be getting is letters from debt collectors. And it's like, well, I'm not surprised. So I'm just going to read a little bit about the law of attraction for you. It's remember playing with magnets as a child and being fascinated by the way that some objects were attracted to them. Others jumped away and even more things appeared to be inert and indifferent to the magnets. In your life, you unconsciously transmit your energy and your thoughts. You have drawn towards you everything and everyone who is in your life. Other things and people you have repelled. Many situations have no magnetic pull towards you. So, for example, you may not attract a condition of starvation or homelessness because you're not sent out the you're not sending that vibration out, which brings it to you. On a radio transmitter, it broadcasts on a particular frequency. So anyone interested in a program going out on that wave band tunes in, and you are the transmitter. You broadcast the play of your life. You send out either the story of your patterns, emotional energy, mindsets, denials, likes, dislikes, and much more. The vibration you emit is made up of your conscious and unconscious energy, some repellent, some magnetic, and some neutral. The underlying law is that like attracts like. We attract into our lives people and situations that have a similar vibration to our own, or are perhaps going through a similar situation or a similar spiritual path, as I'm sure many of you have experienced. I know I have. Negative qualities such as neediness, desperation, greed, or thoughtlessness transmit on a lower frequency or a lower vibration. If we have elements of these in our nature, we will magnetize someone with similar energy into our lives. Qualities such as love, happiness, generosity transmit a high frequency or high vibration energy, and also magnetize people with similar energy. Our underlying belief attracts situations and people to us. If you believe that you do not deserve, then you will attract people into your life that mirror that back. How many of us can we say you look at people around you and think that some of their behaviour is outrageous, and then when you reflect on it, you realise actually they're just mirroring what some of the things that we do. That
and your
be a
own
tough
outrageous
one.
Behaviour.
Yes, I know I've done that many times, and you just think, yeah, it's a great way to learn, and it is that it's the universe's way of showing us. It's ultimately trying to teach us all the time if we just listened and looked out. So the law of attraction, it works on many levels. If you're out of harmony with life, you may attract food which disagrees with you, or if you think self-critical thoughts, you're taking little swipes at yourself all the time. You may attract something like mosquitoes, something that will bite you, that's really, really frustrating and annoying. And these are serving as a reflection of the energy you're sending out and what's going on inside. If you're burying rage, you may well draw in attack. And it's just the way of the universe showing you what we need to work on to attract the things that ultimately we would like. So the inner attracts the outer. If something in your outer world is not what you want it to be, look inside and shift how you feel about it. You will then automatically attract different people and experiences. So
I think it's really important to, again, it's important to realize that life is a team game. And, yeah. You know, we think we're the only ones here. In some ways, that's got some truth to it. But it's also important to realise that if we don't learn or begin to understand and have an overview of spiritual law, we're not working within the guidelines or the framework in our daily lives. And this is when things get really... difficult, or we think that everybody's against us, and some of these laws are really, really important. And I just wanted to bring your attention to somebody, and if you've not heard of her work before, Diana Cooper, basically she is a great resource in spiritual laws, and she wrote a book on A Little Light on Spiritual Laws, and it's a body of work that when I first found it very much brought this the whole point of spiritual laws and looking at how they work in your life and realizing they do have a daily impact. And excuse me, here's me coughing away.
Got a frog in your throat.
And it's really important to realize, yes, the law of attraction, which was made famous by The Secret, is one of the laws of life. And, you know, it is really important to understand the law of attraction, but it is only one. And there are other many other laws, you know, and today I was basically, you know, in the write-up we were saying we were covering the basic laws of life. And the law of attraction is one of those. But more than anything else, as I was saying, it gives us a framework or an overall framework of the spiritual side of life. So, you know, as I was saying, the basic law basically say, as above, so below. So this, you know, is the first law of the universe, you know, on earth, so it is in heaven. One of the things that, you know, again, Carl Jung, one of my favourite quotes is, if you don't look at your own shadow, then you're not going to experience the heaven on earth. Or, you know, obviously I've turned that one around slightly, but that's basically what he's saying. So, you know, it's really...
Matthew, do you have it on speaker?
Chris?
Yes, do you have it on speaker?
No.
Okay, because we're picking up Penny pretty badly through your mic.
Oh.
Turn the mic down a little.
Okay, yeah. Right, I've turned it down to halfway, so.
Okay, hopefully that's better.
Yes.
Sorry,
slight technical issue there.
So as I was saying, you know, obviously with the basic law of life, as above, so below, it's very much a case of looking at how that impacts you on a daily, in your daily life. And, it, you know, if you want to be with those, your loved ones to be happy and fulfilled and prosperous and healthy, it's really important to love them, whatever, you know, whatever their behavior. You can love somebody, but you may not like their behavior. And it's really important to look at loving somebody unconditionally. You don't have to love their behavior unconditionally, but loving them and also accepting them. And, you know, in doing that for others, you can also very much do it for yourself. You know, loving yourself unconditionally and accepting yourself unconditionally. And, you know, the next one is as within, so without. And this always reminds me, and Matthew was talking about this a little bit earlier on in the program. If, you know, knowing that if you don't go within and change your what's going on within yourself, then you're going to go without the experience that you would like to attract. And a great spiritual teacher talks about going to a cinema. And when you go to a cinema, you turn up, you pay for your tickets, you probably decide what movie you want to go and see. And, you know, the movie could be a horror movie, it could be a thriller, it could be a drama, it could be a rom-com, or it could be an adventure, whatever it is. But as you go into the cinema, you know, you take your seats, you sit down. First of all, you have all the promotional stuff, and I'm asking you to buy ice cream or whatever it is. And then you go on to see what's coming, you know, a promotional film about what's coming in to the cinema next month. And then basically the main attraction starts. As the main attraction starts, you know, within a few minutes, if it's a good film, you start to identify with the characters in the movie and you get sucked into the story. And what we don't do is we don't turn around and look at the projectionist box. You know, if we did, all we'd see is white light streaming through and putting the movie up on the big screen. And however much you want that white light to change the picture, it's not going to happen. and live unless you get up and move back to the projectionist box and go into the projectionist box and change the film that's in the projector. And this is very much part of what I talk about when I talk about as within, so without. If you don't go within yourself and do the inner work that you need to do in order to create a new outcome on your big screen of life, it's not going to happen. So again, you know, that's the second law of the universe, is if you don't go within, you will go without. You will go without those experiences. You will go without that love. You will go without that financial freedom. You will go without everything that you want to create unless you are committed to doing your own inner work. And I think you want to say on that, Matthew. I've just taken over and had a rant as usual.
Yeah, it is. Honestly, it's like listening to the work, some of the work that I've done before, because obviously some of the, when you using Breath for Life breath work, it's the deep emotional work. So if there's a one-shot tool for learning how to love yourself and that's going to get you there fast, it's Breath for Life. Because for me, it is very much like your life becomes a film. And when you choose a path to, right, I'm all my skeletons in the closet, bring them on, let's get through this so that I can get on to a happy life. It is like your life becomes a movie because everything's shown to you. And it's interesting, a lot of people on a spiritual path, I meet a lot of people that have said that, oh, well, I did some Reiki on myself and it was really good, but then it started getting scary and I'd sort of laugh, not in front of them, but I sort of laugh because when you sign up to do an energetic tool or energetic medicine like Breath for Life breathwork or Reiki or whatever it is, people don't get that they're actually giving permission to the universe to help them heal themselves, and the universe takes that opportunity very seriously. So when people say, oh, well, I tried it for a bit and then I didn't like it because it got scary, my interpretation of that is actually stuff started coming up to be healed, and rather than step it up a gear and push through it and work through it, they've backpedaled and it's kind of go back into that suppression. And of course, that's just going to create the same patterns that Penny was talking about within your life. If something keeps coming back at you, there's a reason why. There's something you need to get around it. And I remember many phone calls with Penny over the years saying, Penny, I've got this. This has come up and that's come up. And I don't understand why it all seems to be sort of coming up at once and everything seems intense. And actually, it's just everything that comes up is just an opportunity to either learn something about yourself and improve it, discover something about one of your own bad behaviors that you've had over the years that you've created, and these are all opportunities, and some of them taste great from the outset, but some of them are a little bit sweet and sour, and it's usually the sour taste first. But if you really look at what's going on around you in work situations, family situations, it's a map for what's going on inside you. And the experiences that you are going through is just because that's the pattern or the program you're running on within your subconscious. So, yeah, it's a real powerful one for me because I know how much difference it makes. And yeah, we're just it's life's a game, and it's about time we realized that it took lessons. So we'll be back after the break. Look forward to speaking to you then.
conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
I think some of the different aspects of dealing with spiritual law and realizing that there's nobody out to get you, life is not personal, it is just what it is, and if we understand the laws of the universe, we can help them work for us in a very beneficial way. So I just, the first one, again, I know we've talked a little bit about the law of attraction, but I also wanted to talk about the law of request. And we forget that we can request things as long as we're doing it in a clean and effective way. You know, it's important to remember that we have to respect each other's lives, and if we rush in and interfere in a friend's concern in an attempt to help them, you will quickly lose that friendship, because people like to be able to make their own decisions. And it's very much the same. We take it out on the universe when we don't receive the things that we would like to receive, or why can't I have a helping hand, and doesn't God know I'm going through a terrible time right now? But we haven't asked for the help, and we haven't requested the help. And you know, spirit is not going to come in on a big white charging horse going, I'm here to rescue you. It's up to us as mature adult spiritual beings to actually ask for help when we need it. I have learnt this one the hard way in my life. Because, you know, there are times where I haven't wanted to bend my knee and I haven't wanted to ask for help. And, you know, again, ego gets hold of it and it thinks I'm intelligent enough to work this out myself. But we tend to make it more difficult for ourselves when we do that. And if we ask for help and we ask the divine for intervention, then we actually put the law of request into action. And it's very much asking in a clean way. Not going, oh, well, if you can give me this, I'll do X, Y, and Z for you. Or please, 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 and, you know, using the manipulation of a child. But if you request something in a clean way, and when I talk about a clean way, I'm talking about energetically clean, without, you know, without attachment, then it will manifest within your life. So just allowing Matthew to put his two penny worth in.
Yeah, I think to say that the reference I made when I was talking about the law of attraction, about trying to manifest a large amount of money to pay your debts off, that was about me. So I know all about you put in a request and the universe will politely say, well, you could have that. However, you need to learn the lesson in it first. And this is very much, again, with when Penny says putting it out energetically clean, if you have an attachment to it, i.e. it's almost like a greed, or the way I see it for myself is it was a greed attachment. Then you're not going to attract what you've asked for. You'll get a lesson, which the universe is very good at. It's infinitely patient, as Penny would say. And I go on to say as well, I'm going to, you know, use another quote that Penny would say, what we forget is we think we're a human having a spiritual experience, when actually we're spirit having a human experience. And when you look back at different sort of people that have spoken out, Paramahansa Yogananda being one of them, when you look at the scientific way in which he said, this is how to do life, this is how to have the experience that we're here for. The trouble is we don't listen, and life can be so much fun, and you can have things coming up. So for example, we're doing a 6-day intensive next week. So this week for me has been a real interesting week, because there's been lots of things coming up, which can be emotionally relatively difficult to deal with when they come up. But it's just a matter of sort of asking what it's about, what's this situation come up for? It's just so that I can recognize something. Great. And then you can let go of the, oh, this seems big. So I've had one of those weeks where I've been cooking on gas, and even when things have come up, it's just a matter of asking, okay, what's this about? Rather than going into my head and making it some big thing, it's a case of, well, what's the emotion? What's the situation? What do I need to get from this? And then that's it. You've got the information you need, and then all you need to do is act on it. So for me, some of it is like pattern interrupting. And that's something else that obviously Penny teaches. And that's if you keep going round the same old record, and you're getting the same result, it's like Einstein would say, insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. Well, if you're always getting the same result, it's using a pattern interrupt to scratch the record. So one of mine is going out for more runs, and it's something that I've almost been starving myself of, because I've always been and loved physical activity, running, especially getting out into nature, martial arts I've done, but I hadn't been running for a long time, and it's something that I would sort of, I'd be sitting there doing some work, and it's like, oh, I could go for a run. But I wouldn't, because I would tell myself stories, oh, no, I've got to do more work, rather than take half an hour out. Yeah, it is that, oh, I haven't got time, I've got to do this work. And it's like, well, what's more important? Actually, my happiness is, not the work I'm doing. So when I say pattern interrupt, it's like when you have the thought, it's act on it. don't let the questions in. Don't sort of, oh, I can't do this because of this. And we limit ourselves so much in our lives because we tell ourselves, oh, well, I've got to be there to do that and got to be there to do that. And half the time, all these things are for other people and not necessarily for ourselves. So that's another.
It moves us on really, really well to the law of resistance.
Resistance is
a fantastic law.
Yeah.
And, you know, the more we resist, the more it persists. So the more we resist something, you know, the more it will just keep on coming up and keep on coming up and keep on coming up. And it reminds me of, I was watching two kids at play, and the little girl had set up her tea party in her garden playhouse. And she was calling her brother to come in to have some tea. But when he actually went down there, and I was watching this, my son didn't get involved at this stage, but I was just watching the play between these two kids. And as soon as he came down, she made sure he couldn't get through the door, because she actually wanted Hector to join her, not her brother. But she didn't have the language to say that. And so she was holding him out of the door. And the more she held the door tight, the more her brother kept on pushing. And it turned into a right little argy-bargy, as you can imagine, with these two kids, one trying to get in and one trying to keep them out. And it calmed down in the end. But it was just reminding me of the resistance and the persistence. You know, what persists, what you resist persists. So she was resisting him, and he was not gonna take no as an answer.
Yeah.
And it's amazing when Matthew was talking earlier on about magnets repelling each other. And, you know, this is also the law of resistance. You know, it always reminds me of, which Star Trek was it? I think it was Voyager, when you got the Borg, and they were just, you know, resistance is futile.
Yeah.
Because it is futile. And there is, you know, one of the things that I think you learn as you grow in more spiritual awareness is that resistance is futile, because the universe is infinitely patient. Infinitely patient.
Yep.
And will keep on bringing the same thing to you time and time and time again, until you get the lesson. And once you've got the lesson, the resistance becomes absolutely not there anymore. And therefore, that bump in the road is flattened. And I think one of the things I have noticed in my own life and in my own journey is that when I resist something, it's purely because I don't want the learning. Because I think, or I should say, my ego thinks I know better. And it's giving it up and realizing the universe is infinitely intelligent. I just need to get behind it. Okay. So again, handing back over to Matthew.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I mean, it's so true, because it just feels like we're talking about me in so many ways, because the amount of times I have in life felt as though you feel like you're banging a head against the wall, because you're working so hard to make something work. I'm talking about business here, yeah, for me personally, building. And it was like it just wasn't working out. It didn't matter whether I was running my own company, and just wasn't able to push it. There was just every avenue I took seemed to be blocked. I mean, I got a contract with the Ministry of Defence, headhunted for that, and I thought, this is it, we're going to make it. Or I've made it. But again, it was the last time I really concentrated on trying to make a contract work before I surrendered and focused on training in breathwork. And it was the universe's way of showing me that it's not meant to be. And I know Penny will laugh because she very gracefully suggested to me a few times before that actually maybe I should choose a different path, and if something's not working, then change the pattern. Stop resisting it and surrender almost. And it was only really when I finished the contract with the MOD that I realised that. I had an injury involved in the contract, and it was just another push from the universe. And it's that when you, if you feel like you're banging your head against the wall, it's do something differently. And this may sound crazy because you think, well, how's surrendering going to help? And it's kind of like, well, when you're hell-bent on something working out, you're working extremely hard trying to make that happen. And if it's not meant to happen, you're wasting a hell of a lot of energy that you could be feeling or using for passion. There's so many people out there that say, oh, I feel burnt out. Whether it's you've just had a child or you have children, and mothers will say, well, there's not enough hours in the day, I never get enough sleep, I haven't got time to think, let alone anything else. And you obviously you've got business people that they're on the phone all day, and if they're, it's just we make ourselves so busy. And actually it's more about the living. So I surrendered to and gave it up to the universe and said, show me what I'm meant to do. I don't get what I need here. So again, it's using the law of request to ask the universe, like, show me what I'm meant to be doing here, because right here, right now, I don't know. And it did. So going into another commercial break, so we'll see you on the other side.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
So, coming back, we're just about to start talking about the law of reflection. You know, the Earth is an amazing place of learning, where you constantly are being given the opportunity to look at yourself in the mirror. And the mirror of the universe is so honest and accurate that your deepest secrets show up in its reflection. And your deepest fears also show up. And every person and situation in your life is a mirror of an aspect of yourself. As within, so without. When you see yourself in the mirror, you may not like what you see. You may claim that the reflection is distorted, but rarely insist that it is somebody else entirely that you see. When the universe presents us with someone or something in life which is equally a mirror, we can rant about it, we can deny it. However, the spiritual law of reflection reminds us to look in the mirror of change ourselves. So, you know, reflection is a little bit of a game changer. And when we realise that, so we can others, or we can look within ourselves. And, you know, life is meant to be entertaining. And it's meant to be fun and joyous and a place where we don't take ourselves too seriously. But we tend to take life way too personally. And it is looking at it and realizing that the law of reflection can really make us wind our own necks in.
Yep.
So, again, it's just looking at it and going, you know, sometimes when I look in the mirror, I go, my God, who's that? And then I suddenly realise it. Oh my, it's me. And really, sometimes we just need to do that. Maybe make a face in the mirror. Or laugh at ourselves. Or do a silly dance. And realise that we're not meant to be taking this bodysuit and this personality too seriously. So, handing over to you, Matthew, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think obviously we use a reflective practice, and one thing that when I started doing reflective practices and using it in my daily life, what really helped me, it made me realise where my behaviours weren't actually helpful, and it enabled me to change them. One, for instance, and it sounds really simple, but went into a garage on the way to my work. I got a couple of bottles of water, got a coffee, and a few other bits. And it was only when I left the garage and I got to work, which was only 10 minutes away, that I thought, hang on, that was only £4 or £4. And I thought, that's a bit cheap. And I looked at the receipt and they hadn't charged me for the coffee. And the first thing I thought was, oh, that's a bonus. Whereas actually when I reflected on it and thought, actually, they didn't pick up on it, nor did I. I didn't sort of steal it, but if I didn't go back and admit it and offer to pay for it, it's not within my morals. So I did. I went back to the garage and I said to them, I was like, look, I came in this morning and I brought a coffee, but nobody charged me for it. And the lady behind the counter looked at me as if I was mad. And she said, well, what do you want me to do about it? And I said, well, I'd like to pay for it because I've had that coffee, but I haven't been charged for it. And she smiled and said, you know what, that's really nice to hear. And she made me a coffee and gave it to me free. So this is the thing, when you look into the reflection of it, it's kind of like she was so impressed with my honesty, she gave me a free coffee. And that was on top of the one that I hadn't been charged for in the morning. And that's when I looked up at the universe and smiled and thought, I've got two coffees because I've been honest. Yeah. And it just bugged me. It was the little situation around the fact that the first thing my brain thought was, oh, bonus, I've got something for nothing. And how many times in my life had I thought that when actually I had a different choice? And that's what reflection allows you to do. It allows you to make different choices next time and change your actions.
That is so important. And it's happened a couple of times in my life when I've realised I've walked away without paying for something, and I've turned around and gone back. And it's amazing how people just love meeting other honest people. And it's, you know, there's enough honest people in this world. But it's when, you know, as you said, that mindset of, oh, I've got something for free. Whereas in fact, what you're doing is you're killing your own soul. You know, one of the last laws that I wanted to make sure that we covered this evening was the law of projection. And the law of projection is very much a link to how you reflect yourself back to others. So we all perceive outside ourselves, the mirror, something within. So it's really important. The truth is, you can only see yourself. You can only hear yourself. You can only talk to yourself. You can only criticize yourself. And you can only praise yourself. And this is, again, it was a law that I had a little problem getting my head around. Because until you suddenly realize that everything that comes out of your mouth is you're talking about yourself. So all of that rant or tirade against people, other people, is that how you think of yourself. And it's beginning to do the inner work to clear up your own negative thoughts about self. And getting to the stage where you can unconditionally love and accept yourself. And in doing that, you have to look at every single area within yourself. And if you find that you are doing one-liners, one of the things I talk about is dropping battery acid around the place. Remember, you're storing that battery acid within yourself. And the only reason you project it is because you're trying to get rid of it out of yourself, because you're sick and tired of being burnt by your own spite. So, you know, projection, it again goes hand in hand with reflection.
Yeah.
So it was just something I wanted to cover this evening, because we've been talking about the basic rules. And it's very much a part of beginning to learn that all of these different laws of basic rules we've been covering tonight is gives us a handle on how we can begin to change our own daily life experience. So I'm sure there's probably a few different questions, and we're always open to questions or people wanting more clarity. And just to finish off this evening, I wanted to spend a couple of minutes on the law of attachment, because the law of attachment goes hand in hand with a lot of the talk around the secret and the law of attraction. You know, when we're attached to something, or we're attached to the outcome, we spend more time pushing away that item that we desire to manifest.
Yeah.
And again, you know, if we're attached to things, it's very much a case of I've got to hang on to it, I've got to keep it close, or I've got to keep that person close. And what you actually do is you become a puppet on a string to your desire. Okay. I mean, the universe is a soup of energy which is constantly swirling and moving. And like attracts like. And certain energies repel. So when you're attached to something, it actually repels that item. Okay? So it's really important to look at what you're attached to and what you're not attached to. Just a quick story. We're moving out of our house on Sunday, so we've got 3 days left to finish packing up. And it was really, I've obviously been working quite hard to get everything packed up and everything else. And this morning, I was very much okay. I had a list of jobs that I needed to do. But what I realised, I was so tired. And I'm actually facilitating the 6-day intensive that Matthew was talking about. So I'm going to be working really hard next week. I had to give up the attachment to all of the things that I wanted to get accomplished today so I could rest. And I feel brilliant now. And I'll probably be able to attack everything tomorrow in a totally different space, and I'll probably churn through it very, very quickly. So again, just handing back over to Matthew for the last couple of minutes as we go towards the hour.
Yeah, I think that's a real important point, and sort of it's similar to what we were saying earlier, when it's that how many people would actually have allowed themselves to take the time out like you did? Not many. Because it's the stories going around your head, oh no, I've got to, and it's the guilt we put ourselves under, and the story we make up about, oh, I couldn't possibly do that. When actually that's just either your body crying out for rest, and you should listen to that sometimes, because very much like Penny said, tomorrow, when you're feeling refreshed and you're passionate, you can achieve twice the amount of work. Studies show that we get more work done in the first 3 hours of our
call
day than we call. Do in the other five. And you think, well, that's crazy. But it's because in the morning we're refreshed, we're more alert, we're absolutely on the ball. And in the afternoon we've just had lunch. So we call it the roast dinner effect in England, where you've had a nice lunch and the sofa and a siesta would be your preference, but you have to go back to work. And it is that people are distracted in the afternoon because it's like the second part of your day and you're looking forward to going home and seeing your family and that sort of thing. So we are less productive. So taking time out and just being good to self is what we could all do with a bit more, rather than buying into the stories of what we have to do.
Anyway, we hope you've enjoyed it, and we'll be back next week with some more laws. And in the meantime, have a great weekend.
Awesome. Good to speak to you. Have a great week. We'll see you soon.